I got a different Bible here this morning, so it might be hard for me to turn the pages. It's a little bit newer. Took the wrong one on accident. All right. I think we left off in verse 4. We'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your words, and thank you for letting us have a copy of them, and not just speaking them, but getting them written down for us, Lord, so we wouldn't forget, and we pray that we would just continue to go back to them, Lord, day and day until you come back, and Father, now we pray that our eyes would be open, and that our ears would be open, and that our hearts would be in tune to hear your words, and we pray these things for Christ's sake, amen. Okay, this is the Jews' chapter here, the Israel's chapter. We'll go ahead and start reading verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day, threw the corn, and his disciples weren't hungry, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." Notice they never say, "It is written," right? When Jesus says something, "It is written," have you not read? So that's something to notice there. But he said to them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests." Now, why didn't God do anything about this if it was unlawful for David to eat? Why didn't he do anything about this, right? And he's going to go into that. God is merciful. And with God, it is more important that a hungry man eat, right, than it is to observe some ceremony. And that's how God's thinking is. And that's why he didn't do anything. Jesus is likening himself and his disciples to David and his men here. And David was anointed king in 1 Samuel 16:13, but he had to flee because Saul was after him. He was trying to kill him. David was rejected. And Jesus, he's been anointed king, Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And what are the Jews doing? They're rejecting him. And so David is a prophet. David is a priest. And he's a king. And Jesus is a prophet. He's a priest. And he's a king. And so he's likening himself here to David. Verse 5. "Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" That's a tricky one, huh? How do they profane the Sabbath day and they're not blamed? What was to be done on the Sabbath day? Rest. People were to rest, right? And what were the priests doing? They were working, right? They were doing more sacrifices on the Sabbath day than any other day, right? And that's work. And so Jesus is saying, here, quit picking on my disciples. You perform more sacrifices on the Sabbath day than any other day of the week. How do you not work on a Sabbath day and be a priest, right? How do you not do it? You have to. And so they're blameless. And why are you picking on these guys? They're just eating. And God didn't command any of you not to eat on the Sabbath day. In fact, that's allowed on the Sabbath day. They just weren't to cook it. They were supposed to gather it and cook it the day before. And so these disciples, they're not doing anything that the priests aren't doing, right? Verse 6. "But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple." In this place is one greater than a temple. And verse Hosea 6:6. Go would if you would there. Turn there if you would. No, I'm sorry. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Hosea 6 is on the next one. Hebrews 3:3. We'll start off in verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle. He's talking about Jesus Christ here, capital A, apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus or Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Right? Who's responsible for the building of the temple? It's Jesus Christ. And one greater than a temple is here. Right? And so he has rights that nobody else has. He's the builder. And he instituted the Sabbath day. And so the Sabbath day is subject to him. Right? And so he's not subject to the Sabbath day. All the laws are subject to him. All of them. And Jesus, he's the escape route from the law. Right? He's the escape route. And when you get into Jesus, you're protected from the judgment of the law. And that's a blessing. So Jesus, he, as the builder, as one that is greater than the house, he has all the laws are subject to him. And when you get into him, all the laws are subject to you because you're in Jesus Christ. Number 7, verse 7. But if ye had known what this meaneth, and when he's going to say, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. Now we'll go to Hosea. Hosea 6:6. We'll start off in verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the word of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And so he's saying, hey, you wouldn't have condemned my guiltless disciples if you were more interested in having mercy rather than your nitpicking, because that's what they were doing. The problem with the religious leaders is that they couldn't understand the differences between mercy and judgment, right? And here you have some men that are hungry, and instead of offering these men some food, which they should have been doing, what were they doing? They were working. They were with Jesus. They were helping other people. And why would they be hungry if they were getting fed by the religious leaders? They're sitting right there with them, watching them eat this corn. And they wouldn't have been in the field picking corn if they were getting fed. Right? Just like starving a preacher out with your tithes because you don't like him, or you don't like the way he sounds, or you don't like the way, what he's preaching. Same difference. That's how these religious leaders think. And so they weren't feeding Jesus' disciples because they didn't want to hear their message. And Jesus knows that the disciples are hungry, right? And he knows how to feed them. Why? Because he's merciful. He's not like the religious leaders of that day. Jesus is merciful. They're looking for judgment and justice on people. That's all they care about. And their own justice, not even the justice contained in the Word of God. And so God is merciful. what father wouldn't do what he could to feed his children, right? God wants to have mercy and not judgment. And so if you reject the mercy of God and you only seek after judgment, then that's what you're going to get, right? You're going to get judgment. It'll be meted back to you just as you have judged. And that's the Bible. And God tells us this in the Bible. That's Matthew 7:1. Go with me if you would there. Matthew 7:1, we'll look at that one. I know we've read it before, but it's good to go back and see what it says. Okay, Matthew. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And so, look for mercy. Any way you can show mercy on somebody, that's what you want to look for, right? Because when it's your turn and you're in the pot, aren't you going to want mercy? Well, if you're judging people and you keep judging men and judging people, well, look at what he's doing. Then when it's time for you, the Lord's going to bring the hammer down, just like you brought the hammer down on that person. James 2. Another good verse. James 2, verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. So it's better to have mercy on people, and that's what Jesus is doing here. He's having mercy, right? He's looking at men, and he's looking at men's needs, the needful things of their life, and he's saying, hey, it's more important that this guy eat and not be hungry on the Sabbath day than it is to not pick the corn, right? To not pick it and not have anything to eat, because you guys aren't feeding them. So they got to eat something. All right, enough on that subject. Well, maybe not. I still got more. So God's done everything he can to have mercy on people. And so if a person rejects the mercy of God and his righteousness, then you'll have his judgment, and then you have to keep every jot and every tittle of the law, right? And God's more interested in having mercy than you keeping every jot and tittle of the law. That's what he came down to die on the cross for. He wants to have mercy on people. He doesn't want you to be judged by the law. He wants you to get in him who fulfilled the law. And so the Sabbath is a ceremonial law, and there's a difference between breaking a ceremonial law than there is in breaking a moral law. And Jesus isn't breaking moral laws here, folks. And so these religious leaders, they're without any working knowledge of the Scriptures. And you can see by how they judge people, by how they take the Word of God, and they make it of none effect by their traditions. And they claim that they're breaking laws, and they don't care about people. They care about themselves. They care about money in their pockets. They care about that you don't work, but they can. That's what they care about. Hypocrites. That's what they are. Matthew 12. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath day. And so Jesus claims deity here. And he's saying he's the Lord even of the Sabbath day. Even on the day of rest, he's still the Lord. Verse 9, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. It's pretty interesting here, folks. Look at where the Lord was traveling with his disciples to. They weren't going on some trip to the Grand Canyon, right? They weren't going some sightseeing trip. They're going to the synagogue. Is that law for them to do? And so the Lord was traveling to the synagogue with his disciples, and it wasn't some idle walk out in a man's field to get something to eat, right? They were working with Christ throughout the week, and now it's the Sabbath, and they're on their way to church. Are you going to tell me that they can't travel to church on a Sabbath day? What do they have to do? Camp out right there at the church the night before? See how ridiculous these people are? And so, when there's a lot of work to do, folks, there's times, there's times for me when there's a lot of work to do, I forget to eat. I mean, I just do. There's just so much to do, and there's not a lot of time. I mean, the older you get, the less time there is, but the same time there has always been in a day, right? But it runs out faster. It runs out faster. And so you forget to eat. And so these guys, they were working. They probably were forgetting to eat. And nobody was giving them any food to begin with. Or they would have been eating, right? Jesus provides for the sparrows, does he not? How much more shall he provide for you? And not only that, folks, but when there's a little break and you're not doing work and they're just traveling to church, that's when they probably started thinking, man, I haven't had anything to eat, right? And so sometimes you remember that, hey, you're hungry. You need something to eat. Hey, thank God for fast food restaurants, right? In a pinch, man, they're good. It's good to get something to eat to curb that little growling in the stomach. Cures those little hunger pains. Hey, it may not be healthy, but hey, the Lord, if you bless it, right? It's good to eat. Verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him, right? And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. Now look at before that. And he went, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogues. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they may accuse him, that they might accuse him? Now, the day is the Sabbath. And here in their synagogue, there just happens to be this man, right, with a withered hand. And notice that they already had in their minds to ask Jesus this question. You just don't walk into a synagogue and they say, let's ask him, let's all ask this. No, they were discussing this amongst themselves, right? And this is the way I'm thinking. That this guy just didn't happen to be there purposely. No. Now, one of these religious leaders may have come across this guy on the road, and he was probably searching for Jesus, thinking that, hey, I need to find this man, Jesus, he can heal me, right? And maybe one of these religious leaders said, hey, I know where to find him. And he's in his mind on his way to church, hey, I'm going to get over there and talk to these people, and let's see if we can get Jesus. We know Jesus is going to be in church. And he probably told this guy, hey, I know where Jesus is going to be this afternoon. He's going to be in the synagogue. Why don't you come follow us, and then you may be able to meet him there. Right? And so he goes in there, and when Jesus gets there, before he gets there, this guy's talking to all these other religious leaders there. And saying, hey, when Jesus comes in here, why don't we see if we can catch this guy? Now, when these religious leaders asked Jesus this, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? Imagine if you were this guy that had a withered hand. And here's these guys asking Jesus, hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They're asking him. They're not saying, hey, Jesus, we got this guy, we found him in the street here, right? Could you heal him for us? We care about this man, we want him healed. We know you're healing everybody. Could you heal him for us? No. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And so imagine this guy being caught in the middle of one of these Pharisees' agendas. And these guys, they're not going to find any joy in this man getting healed. All they want to do is be able to put blame on the Lord, and they're using this man's misfortune to try and do so. And that's something. Now watch what Jesus does. Verse 11. And he said unto them, "What man shall be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep?" Notice they don't care about a man. They don't care about men. Jesus knows their hearts. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? Isn't that something, how Jesus did that? Here's Jesus. He's putting into practice what he's told his disciples in previous chapters, right? Be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, right? And so what Jesus is doing here is he's being wise as a serpent. And he's avoiding conflict by an illustrative answer. Right? Look at what he's illustrating. He's illustrating sheep falling into a ditch or into a pit on a Sabbath day. And sure, Jesus could have given a yes or no question or a yes or no answer to the question. But folks, sometimes a yes and no answer, they're confrontational. And so it's better to answer in a way where you explain yourself rather than to say yay or nay, right? Because sometimes the yay and nay are very confrontational to people, and they may be apt to fight with you then after you give such an answer. And Jesus knows, he knows when to say something, he knows when not to. But here he's given an illustrative answer. Now notice that every time the Pharisees ask Jesus a question, Jesus answers it, right? But when Jesus asks the Pharisees a question, everything goes silent. And because here the Pharisees are more interested in taking care of four-legged animals, right, than they are of taking care of their fellow man. And that's why they don't feed the disciples. You don't ever see them offering the disciples food. And the disciples are doing the work of the Lord. And that's why they could care less if this man gets healed here or not. All they care about is trapping Jesus, setting out a trap for him. I set out some traps this last night for some raccoons out of my house. And I went out there this morning thinking, man, all the traps are going to be full. I didn't get one. But anyway, these Pharisees, they're setting traps out for Jesus. They're trying to catch a man. God, right? And God's not smart enough to evade a trap? Come on. And so that's what they're doing. And folks, if they would have received John's message, And they would have received Jesus as their Messiah, then they would have saw nothing wrong with what Jesus is doing, whether he's eating corn in a field on a Sabbath day, or whether he's healing a man that has a withered hand, right? They would have saw nothing wrong. But these men, they care more for pigs, unclean animals, right, than their own fellow brethren. Mark 5. They're taking care of pigs. Jesus comes and he heals that maniac, right? The pigs go over the cliff. And those men wanted nothing to do with Jesus after that point. Took away their business. Took away their money. And so, sounds like what we have here are some animal activists, right? These are the animal activists of Jesus' day. They care more for for beasts than they do their own men. God help you if you take an eagle egg to eat it if you're hungry, or take a deer out of season to feed your family, or take more fish than they allowed you for that day, and they catch you. They don't care about the three little ones at home. They don't care. All they care is law, justice, now. That's it. And so you got to be careful on those things. And folks, when times are tough, we don't care about the ceremonial laws of today, about, you know, limits and this and that. You care about getting food, feeding your family. And so there's some laws that are meant to be broken, and that's one of them. But Jesus answers this question. He answers it with an illustrative answer in verse 11, and then he answers it with a precept in verse 12. And he says, how much is it then, is a man better than sheep? Wherefore, is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? He's not doing evil by helping this man with a withered hand. He's doing well, right? And that's what he's pointing out to them. And so Jesus points out to everybody in the synagogue that the religious leaders, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what he's pointing out to all these people. And what he's saying is, hey, it's okay for this Pharisee to work. It's okay for the priest to work on the Sabbath day if one of their animals gets out and falls into a pit. But if Jesus heals a man that's in need, or he eats because they're hungry, then they're bad men. They've broken the law. But as long as no money comes out of my pocket on a Sabbath day because of the sheep falling into a ditch that's going to die if I don't rescue it, then it's okay. As long as there's money involved, folks, it's okay. But when you got a human being involved, you're rotten. You're breaking the law. Verse 13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Here is a Masonic sign, or Messianic. I'm not Masonic. Messianic sign. and that goes back to Exodus 4. We'll go there and look real quick. I got a little bit more time. Exodus 4. Remember when Moses was given these signs? I think it's 4:6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous in snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Right? Here's a guy with a withered hand. This is the first miracle done on the Sabbath, and there are seven miracles done on the Sabbath in the Gospels. There's two in Mark 1, 21. There's one in Luke 13, 11. There's one in Luke 14, 2. There's one in John 5, 8, and there's one in John 9, 14, verse 14 of Matthew. Then the Pharisees went out and held counsel against him, how they might destroy him. Counsel, when you have a counsel, almost every time in the Bible that word is found, it's bad. It's something evil is going on. And so here Jesus had spoken to them from the Word, verse 3 and 4, right? Matthew 12, 3 and 4. But he's saying to them, have ye not read what David did? How he entered in the house of God. So he's speaking to them the Word. And then he's giving them a sign here, verse 13, to confirm the Word. And he's giving them a sign that only God could have. And then in verse 14, You have the rejection of Israel. Why do they want to destroy him? Because the violent, right, take the kingdom of heaven by force. That's chapter 11, verse 12. And Jesus had already gone through this. Chapter 11, verse 12. And the lawless rulers of Israel, they don't want to repent. Why? Because they want to keep their kingdom. And that's what it boils down to. They've got their kingdom. And they're not even the rulers of those kingdoms. Caesar is. Right? But they want to have rule over Israel. They don't want Jesus to have rule over Israel. And they're going to make sure that he doesn't get it. Verse 15. And then we're almost done here. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And when Jesus knew it, and that's when Jesus knew that they were rejecting him, and they were determined to destroy him. And so what does he do? He is as harmless as a dove, the Bible says. He's given him his instructions to his disciples to be wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. And so he's as harmless as a dove, and what is he going to do? He's going to go into another city, just like he told them. And so the nation as a whole has rejected Jesus Christ, and in chapter 13, he'll start to speak in parables. Jesus is showing his disciples what to do in the situations that they're going to run into. He's giving them examples, right? And can Jesus be destroyed, folks? By men, he's God, right? He's God. Look in John 10. We're almost done. John 10. Here's Jesus. He's able, folks, they're out to kill him, and he's able to walk right through the midst of people, and they can't even see him. Isn't that something? It's like he's got a cloak. He's got a cloak on, and he becomes invisible to people. When they want to stone him. And he'll go through crowds. They won't even know where he's at. But here in John 10:18, the Bible says, "No man, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." Verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father." Nobody's going to destroy Jesus until he wants to lay his life down. They're not going to come and grab him and take him by force and make him king or kill him or destroy him or any other of those things that they're trying to do. But the Jews have rejected, they've rejected three ministries. They've rejected John's, they've rejected Jesus's, and they've rejected the disciples'. And Jesus isn't getting away from these folks because he's afraid of them. He's just not going to show them anything anymore. Because they're rejecting, right? He's not going to show them anything anymore. And he's got more important things to do and more important people to go to right now. They've rejected. And when people found out that Jesus would heal on a Sabbath day, right? And he didn't care about what these Pharisees said, and the Pharisees never answered them. They shut their mouths. But when they found out and he was leaving, they ran after him, hobbling down the road with their withered hands and their lame legs and their diseases and their infirmities, right? And the Bible says here that he healed them all. He healed them all, verse 15. All of those people that were coming after him had some hurting in their bodies somehow, and he healed them all. And that shows you that when people have real infirmities and they go to Benny Hinn, right, and these other healers, and they can't heal them, what do they blame it on? Their faith. This verse mentions nothing about their faith. No. They just came after Jesus and he healed them all. And none of them were left with any infirmities to say, "Jesus, why couldn't I get healed?" Well, because you lacked faith. He heals true healers. They heal everybody, and it doesn't matter about their faith, right? Doesn't matter about their faith. And we'll go ahead and stop there today. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And again, Lord, thank you that we have them. Without them, Lord, we'd be a wreck. Without you, we'd be a wreck. Imagine, Lord, if you just withdrew yourself from people, how bad of a shape we'd be in. And we thank you, Lord, that you keep coming, you keep trying, you keep trying to get us to you, Lord, and get us reconciled to God. And Lord, we pray for the unsaved, if there's any unsaved here today, that they wouldn't keep rejecting, because how long will it take before you have to leave? And you never the gospel message never comes to them again. And so, Father, we pray that you touch those hearts today, if there are any here, and we pray for the services this afternoon, that you would just open our hearts to your words and to your messages. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.